following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, sending out there to the wild, wild west of the internet. I don't know if the internet doesn't really have a direction. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it's down, because there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of down out there. Last week here on the program, it was kind of down because I had to speak my mind about the current events of the immigration status here in this country. I took some heat for it. I make no apologies for it. I'm happy with it. That's just it. One of the things that I do as someone who runs their mouth, I make no apologies. And I'll tell you why that is. Because I have the ability to censor myself if necessary. I know there's people out there that'll look for any reason to be insulted or have their sensibilities assaulted, if you will. And when that happens, it's sort of like, so what? My sensibilities are assaulted all the time, but nobody really seems to care. And I just move along as I think most reasonable people should do. That's just it. It's a matter of being reasonable about things. And we should have the right to be upset about certain things that turn our crank the wrong way. Why it really grinds my gears. Certain things like that, are going to do that. Everybody has that button that gets pushed. And I think we live in this odd world right now where we sit here and go, I'm upset. I'm going to say something. I'm going to take this matter to the world court of Facebook. And what's amusing to me about Facebook, and it's like any other comment-driven type stuff that you see on the internet, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatnot, everybody's got gigantic stones when it comes to sitting behind a keyboard. I refer to these folks as the keyboard cowboys. They can go out there and they can blather on and they can say horrible things, incredibly hateful things. And they're not really saying it. They're just typing it. And there's a difference. There's a difference from sitting there and writing out the words that are written, as opposed to being able to open up a microphone and record yourself saying things. We live in this world now where it's almost acceptable to have some sort of hatred out there, and me included. There's a few things that I hate. I hate the state of things right now in our world, and I think we are absent reason. And you know me well enough to know that I am a fan of being reasonable, reasonable about anything. I look at all sides of all the stories. Of course I do. Do I have a bias? Of course, everybody has a bias. Everybody has their point of view that they prefer. And when you expose yourself to other points of view, especially those that you do not prefer, you still come away with somewhat of an argument. You come away with some sort of an education. Whether or not you agree with it means nothing. It's a matter of being able to sit down, look at something somewhat objectively, and with some reason try to put it together that makes sense in your own mind. Well, I don't like children being taken away from their parents, but I see why they are doing it, and I don't agree with that. I'm just using that as an example. Hyperbole, perhaps. But for the most part, it's about being able to express one's opinion. And it's not just casting bread onto the waters. Don't get me wrong. And what I said last week was certainly measured and somewhat calculated. Of course it was. I knew it was going to get a rise out of some people. You have to draw the line at certain death threats. that has happened before too, because it's coming. I'm angry, so I'm taking to my keyboard and I'm going to express my dissatisfaction with what is being said on your program. But if I were to run into these people in public someplace, in a bar, I doubt they would even have the, I don't know, the temerity to say anything to me personally. Why should they? They don't have a keyboard to hide behind or a monitor to hide behind. They're having to sit there and look someone dead in the eye, specifically me, and say whatever it is that they're going to say. Most people that I will have discussions with are that type. They become more muted in their argument. They become a little more stifled because it's like, ooh, they have to form words with their brain and mouth and out come these sayings and things that you sit there and you just shake your head at. That's why, my opinion, when I have seen some things on Fox News and hear what people are saying, it becomes, it's like, wow, you actually said that out loud. You actually engaged that part of your brain that is non-reasonable. It doesn't make any sense. And that's part of the, I guess, the amusement of it, the charm behind it, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. The current state of affairs that we see, is it dooming us all? No, not really. I don't think that's the case at all. Is this a turning point in history? Sure, absolutely. Every day brings new challenges, and it brings certain solutions to bear. Whether they are right or wrong, what decisions are being made, we won't know until we get into them. It's, you know, we try and avoid the mistakes that were made in the past to progress into the future, right? Oh, you can't say progressive, bro. You're a progressive libtard. You're going to go to hell. Hillary Clinton didn't win the election. So I get amused at hearing some of the things that people say like this when they're doing it, but they don't say it out loud. You ever notice that they don't say it out loud? With exception, of course. I mean, I know like-minded individuals will say horrible things to each other about something else, just so because they know that somebody's going to agree with them. These same people that get hissy and they throw just a complete snit on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. They're trying to convince you to think like them, and they think the best way to do that is to insult you. And it makes no sense to me. But that's the mindset. And that thus has given birth to the echo chamber. You know, there was a fear amongst people in our business, in radio, in television, broadcast, in entertainment of some sort. Now that everybody has access to the same thing that everybody else has, a level playing field. It was like, oh my God, yeah, and we're going to be drowned out. There's going to be all these people out there that are going to be doing the thing they think that they can do better than people like us. And look, I'm not saying if you want to give it a shot, go for it. You know, you're going to have some thick skin to do it. But it doesn't. It didn't matter. In the long run, it hasn't mattered. What has mattered is that content of substance rises to the top. People will tune in droves to hear certain things. And there's things out there that have millions of followers that you haven't even heard of. Because people are like, well, this is my world. This is where I'm going to be. You will like what I have to say. This is my newsletter, and it's about how much hatred I can squeeze into a 30-minute show. And it doesn't have to be like that. I mean, you can do whatever you want. And sure, you know, the things that I say on this program, maybe not necessarily 100% popular, maybe not even in the majority. I'm notorious for saying things that a lot of people don't agree with, and that's fine. That's the beauty of it. But people keep coming back and they want more, and they want to hear more. Last week's show had the most numbers that I've seen in a long time. And because there's a pattern to this program. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up. And occasionally it spikes. And you touch on something that gets people going. And with all of the people that heard episode 227, the one previous to this one, Suffer the Children was what it was called. I created a divisive wedge right into my audience. And I knew it. I knew going in this is what would happen. And I'm glad I did it. Because it hasn't hurt, and I love the whole thing about the far right when they go, oh, Oh, what do you mean? American Airlines is not going to move separated children. They said no. They're not going to do the government's bidding. Oh, well, I'm just going to boycott American Airlines. And I'm going to boycott a coffee company, and I'm going to boycott this, and I'm going to boycott that. And everybody's just going to keep boycotting stuff. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the spokesweasel for the head weasel in the White House, got thrown out of a restaurant this week because the restaurateur didn't care for her politics and didn't care who she worked for. It's his right. He scored himself a hell of a marketing campaign as a result, but hey, it's your right to refuse business to anybody. That's the business. If you want to roll the dice as a business owner, you can do that. We'll see how it won't hurt him. It probably won't help him much either. But it's just going to be pretty much the same people. I forgot the name of the damn restaurant, and it doesn't really matter because the people that really supported all this were going to go, well, I'll just boycott that place. You got people in Alabama that are going to boycott a restaurant in Virginia. Bitch, you hadn't even been to Virginia, and you'll never go there. By God, I'm against it. I hate it. So wrong. Video I saw before coming into the studio of a bus that was loaded with children. They were being bussed off somewhere, and protesters were standing in front of it, delaying the bus in its inevitable progress to take these children to wherever it is that they're going. And the comments in the video were stark. Woo, man. Most of them, thankfully, were on the lines of, hey, show some compassion here. Something is clearly wrong if this is going on. What's going on here? Let's shed more light onto the scenario so we can learn more. That's being reasonable. So there were some of those posts, and there was also a few, thankfully not as many. There was a handful of these jackasses that were going, oh, the bus driver should have just run those protesters over. You can't protest something that I like. That would be wrong. We've had, here in Memphis, we've had our share of protests. And those people that didn't like that, oh, this is holding up my, I'm supposed to go somewhere. I need to be somewhere. And you protesters are in my way. I should run you over. These are the people that miss the point. that's the whole thing. You can't do that. You have to be reasonable. I'm not sitting here trying to lecture you on, you do what you want to do. You do you. But when you do you involves me, then I'm going to get involved. That's sort of the point of being reasonable, I suppose. So, such as it is, be reasonable. This is not much to ask, I guess. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's too much to ask. Such as it is. Kids, got a good program for you today coming up. Soriana Wood was in the studios some time back. She is a songwriter. Lovely lady. She is, like a lot of songwriters, certain themes that she writes upon. We'll explore that in a conversation and a performance with Miss Soriana Wood. It's coming up next right here from Radioland. Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
BJ Banks is here from the Bartlett Songwriters Alliance. What's up, my friend?
Oh, man, a lot of stuff is up, man. We had a workshop last night with Daniel Lynn over at Music Plus Arts.
Yeah.
Label.
Yeah.
He was spoke about basic engineering, building, how you build it when you go into the studio, prepping for it and all that stuff. A lot of people don't understand what the difference between analog and delay and how many times you mix it down.
Mm-hmm.
How water, it starts getting more muddy and you lose clarity. And he was explaining a lot of those processes.
It's like copy of a copy of a copy of a copy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The more you compress it, just like video, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
It goes down and down the quality. That's why you got to start real high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to start with the highest you can handle, and then by the time it hits like YouTube or something, it's been squished to oblivion.
Yeah. But it still looks good because you have so much quality. And same thing with music.
With audio, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And he was really nice to be able to give that kind of insight to it. A lot of people were catching about every third word, but that's okay, you know. Huh?
You know? Yeah, after a while, though, it does kind of sink in. It's its own language, for sure.
It's a language.
It's its own world.
And I understood exactly what he's talking about, different things. And I was watching the faces on people, and I'm like, there's some stuff to learn here.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted, the look on their face. I really want people to start learning more about how all the mechanics work, how the things work, because this is my segue into the music business basics over at Bartlett High School.
Yeah, because you've got a whole thing going over there with those high school kids.
It is tremendous.
They're getting excited over there.
I had half a dozen of them last night from the school.
Yeah.
And they, from songwriters to singers to introverted songwriters, lyricists, et cetera, and they were all like, you'd really help us? I go, absolutely.
The introverted ones are the ones we want to put on the radio over here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was a no, Rick. I don't know if I could.
Oh, come on! It's a lot of fun when that happens, because then there's like, what the?
I'd have to put up this plastic screen to protect them.
We string a mic over in the other room. No, no, it's because that.
No, you wouldn't do that. I mean, not
do you think I wouldn't? Look, I'm kind of an introvert myself. This is all an act, dude. You know, by the time I leave here, I go home, and it's. Me and Studio A, and you know, that's it. I don't have to deal with the public here.
I got a new song for you coming up. I ain't going to do it today. I'm almost done with it. It's called, Am I in Another Universe?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, every day I ask that question.
I was thinking of you when I wrote it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Because it is. It's like that. I come in here, and I look at the news, and I go, oh, my God, what planet is this? But hey, who did you bring with us?
Lovely lady, originally from Oregon.
Oregon,
I think, you know,
born and raised in Portland and then lived in Eugene, Oregon for 15 years before I came here to Memphis.
Wow. This is
1998.
Miss Soriana.
Soriana Wood. What brought you to Memphis from Oregon? The weather, right?
Car.
No, actually, I had met a gentleman out in Eugene who was from Memphis.
Oh, my.
Most recently.
Was he lost?
No, he had been to Oregon in the past, and he liked it very much. So he decided to return there, and he was a television producer.
Yeah.
And for 3 years, we had a show called Spaceville, which was a showcase for undiscovered talent.
Right on.
And we filmed it at the local public television station.
Right.
And we were seen in 5 states out there. And then he had friends here in Memphis who kept saying, Dee, come on back to Memphis. We want to do the show again. So we came out here to see if that was going to be possible. And I just stayed. And he unfortunately passed away in 2000.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
Did he go back there before? I mean,
he went back to Oregon in 1999 because he forgot how hot it was in Memphis.
I don't know how you could forget that. It's special down here in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he really liked the green of the Emerald City, which is what they nicknamed Eugene.
Yeah.
And Eugene is a very cool place, too, and Oregon is a beautiful
state. Oh, it is.
Yeah. A lot of rain, though. And I was kind of enjoying the sunshine, although a bit oppressive in the summer. And we arrived in July, and I found that there were people who could use my skills as a typist and secretary and like that. And so we had a show here on Channel 5 from August of 1998 until November. And at that time, he went back to Oregon, and I stayed here and helped these folks out. That's a whole nother life and a whole nother story. We won't go there.
I can relate.
He came back in 2000, and we were getting ready to do another production, and he had a heart attack and died. And my next-door neighbor worked for a prominent attorney, and she said, you know, he really needs someone with your secretarial skills. So I became a legal secretary and did that for until 2011. When I said, you know what, the only music I had encountered during that time was I became real good friends with Calvin Newborn.
Yes.
And so I would often videotape Calvin on his performances, and he would invite me up to sing songs, and we had a couple favorite numbers that I still just cherish the opportunity to have sung with him.
Right.
And to have been such a good friend with him. But in 2011, I said, you know, I really need to reclaim who I am, and I joined the Memphis Songwriters Association.
Right, right.
And through them, in 2012, I went to the Folk Alliance International Conference that they used to have at the Marriott.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I met BJ.
Oh, yeah, we played in that. And we played in the hotel room.
Watch
yeah,
it.
We did.
Look out now.
Yeah, all night long.
All night long playing in the hotel room.
They took all the couches and the beds and threw them up against the wall and just drug them in a chair. It was kind of weird, but it was fun.
The whole, you know, top two or three floors were all musicians with these showcase rooms. It was really neat.
Oh, I bet.
But so about that time, BJ became the president of the Memphis Songwriters Association, and I was the secretary of that. So we kind of struck our friendship off from there, and then I just did singing at churches and singing at when Mark Parcell started booking the farmer's market downtown. Right. Actually, it was even before Mark started booking it. It was the first year they had it, and I think the first 3 years I played down there and did this and that, and then just decided that I really wanted to. I was getting all of my songs back into circulation, and I wanted to become a little more serious about that. So I started home recording, and in the process, BJ built his studio, and he's recorded a couple of my songs. And I have several other friends who have home studios who have produced some songs for me. I've got a few on iTunes. Started playing small gigs. I still really enjoy playing churches.
Yeah.
I have a selection of inspirational music that I wrote over the years, and that's always a joy. It's
sure, sure.
A very quiet and respectful audience as opposed to some of the bars. Yeah,
you're not going to find some guy sitting about three rows back with a shirt over his head, you know, waving it around. Hey, come on, let's go.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the acoustics, the acoustics are usually wonderful.
Oh, sure, because everybody's quiet. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they have those big ceilings. And then I've done a few of the songwriter showcases and the Meet Me in Memphis.
That's the Bartlett song.
Well, I'm getting to that. Mark's place down on South Main.
South Main Sounds,
South
yeah.
Main Sounds.
It's a great place.
They have the Meet Me in Memphis shows. And then BJ and other Bartlett songwriters, we had a showcase there.
April
21st.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a number of showcases. We had some at the Midtown Crossing Grill.
Right.
And I've played the Crossing Grill on other occasions with other musicians as well. So, but by day, I work in a prestigious law office.
Oh, my.
And superhero at night.
Superhero at night. Strap the cape on and, you know, out you go with the guitar. And here we go, making songs. With great music comes great responsibility, Soriana.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, just try. There have been times when I had many years when I was raising family and couldn't really go play music.
Sure.
And I ended up, you know, touching the broom and the vacuum cleaner and the sewing machine and all this, but didn't touch my guitar. But fortunately, it all remained in the recesses of my brain.
Absolutely.
And one day when I decided to dust it off and bring it out just before I came to Memphis, the songs all came back.
Yeah, isn't that something how that works?
I was very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Now I'm just trying to keep the music alive. And what I started to say was just try to stop making music
once you've done
music.
It.
And when you create it, too, I mean, it's in you.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you not express, especially when it comes on, when a song is really coming upon you?
A lot of blues artists use that same phrase. They'll say, it's in you, it's got to come out.
Yes.
And it's like you said, it's a lifelong thing. Once you've opened up that box, there's always going to be, you hope that there's always going to be stuff that comes out of there.
Yeah. It's a joyful experience.
That it is, yeah. Well, what do you say we hear a song and then we'll chat a bit?
Okay.
What you gonna do?
That's the way love ought to be. BJ's gonna play along with me.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Reminiscent of those days in that hotel room, huh?
And this song came to me in a quiet moment when I was back in Oregon, in Portland. And I had to stop what I was doing and sit down and write it. I would never make a tie that bound you to anything you didn't want to do. No, I will take you like I found you and make a dream of love come true. And I don't want to be the one to scold you. No, I don't want to tell you when you're wrong. I want to let our love flow gently like the breeze through the trees when Mother Nature sings her sweet love song. You're so much a part of me that everything I do and everything I see keeps my thoughts running back to you like the river runs to the sea, and that's the way love ought to be. And I don't want to be your teacher. No, I just want to be your lover. Well, it seems when the sermons start, the loving always ends. I don't want you to change anything about the way you feel. No, I just wanna be me, loving you, you loving me, and both of us knowing that it's real. You're so much a part of me that everything I do and everything I see keeps my thoughts running back to you like the rivers run to the sea. And that's the way, oh, that's the way, that's the way. And free, flowing from you, flowing through me. That's the way love ought to be.
Well, that's very nice.
Thank you.
That's you said that came to you just in a quiet moment up there, didn't it?
Yeah.
How much of that is from experience, too?
Oh, that's from experience. And actually, if you want to know the full truth, I was taking a shower in the middle of the day after doing some garden work.
Yeah.
And the song just came to me. You never know why or when or where.
Sure. It just, yeah, it's not necessarily, I guess, I know you could call it the muse. You know, something just hits you and then there it is.
Yeah, and it was something about the idea of being, having someone be so much a part of you that they're just in everything you see and do. And,
yeah.
You know.
Does it start with like a simple turn of a phrase? Maybe just maybe one sentence and then the next thing, it just builds around it?
Sometimes. In fact, I have this one friend who, we wrote some songs together in 1999 and then sometimes since then. And he's actually more of a old school rhythm blues kind of singer and songwriter. Wonderful, wonderful singer, Chili Bill Rankin. He now sings with the Mad Lads.
Yes, I know them.
But we would sit down to just have a conversation. And there's a song in that.
Sure. Yeah, somebody will say something. It's like, oh,
6 hours later, we had three songs, you know, without even thinking about it. It was kind of fun. But sometimes it comes as a musical phrase, or sometimes if I have my guitar and I just start exploring
new changes, fingerings or whatever. Yeah.
And then afterwards, the words come. Sometimes they come simultaneously.
What's the quickest you've ever written a song?
Apparently in the shower.
Well, no, because I only got the verse for that. I'll tell you the longest and the quickest. Okay, the quickest I think I ever wrote a song. I was driving the kindergarten run, driving the school bus.
Yeah.
In Elmira, Oregon, and it was the noon pickup to take the kids home, and I'm going down the road, and I started thinking, because that's one thing. Every time I would get in a car to go to, like, on location singing in another city or something, or go on a vacation for the weekend, once I get 20 minutes out of town and feel the wheels beneath me, songs.
Yeah, there's a rhythm to the road, yes.
Yeah, definitely a rhythm to the road. Hey, there's a song.
Oh, God, here we go.
Does somebody have that? No.
I'm recording all of this.
We'll
don't worry about
share
it.
Share that. We'll have to share that one. But, yeah, so this song came to me. I started thinking about this man who I just really loved, and I knew he was my soulmate, but our lives went in opposite directions.
Yeah.
And it had been some time since I'd seen him, and he was off in another part of the country. He was actually in Nashville, I found out later, producing videos and for people like the Tractors and putting on concerts with Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton and people like that. And I thought, wow, I wish I was there. But anyway, so I started thinking about him, and this song came to me, and I wrote the whole song in my head while I completed the kindergarten run. So it was
from start to finish.
From start to finish, and then I had to go home and figure out where it was on the guitar, how it was going to be.
Yeah.
You want to hear that one?
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
Good lead in.
Yeah, see there?
Time ago on a warm summer night, lying there in your arms, feeling you holding me tight, listening to your heartbeat with my head upon your chest. Well, I've had me a few, but I'm telling you, baby, you're the best. Had a way about your boy. Oh, wish I could tell you so. Oh, you had a way about your boy. Oh, you had a way about you, yeah. Thinking about a long time ago when we were so in love. Lying in the grass and watching time pass and counting the stars up above. Oh, well, I wish that I could turn back the time, start all over again. If I could turn back the time, then I would make you mine and I'd never let you go again. Oh, you had a way about your boy. Oh, oh, you had a way about you, yeah, yeah. Long lost lover, I wish you were here tonight. Long lost lover, well, I wish I were holding. Wish I could tell you so, honey, I love you so. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, you had a way about your boy. Oh, you had a way about you, boy.
Well, there you go. Wrote that on a bus.
Kindergarten school bus.
And just on one run.
One run.
It all came together. So that was the shortest amount.
Well, that was the shortest.
What's the one that took you the longest?
Well, and I can't sing you the longest one because it's a song that I sing in church, and it's one that I have not really, I recorded it but didn't perform it a whole lot.
I got you.
It's not committed to my memory.
That's good.
And I really don't like to perform off of music, you know, so. It's called The Nightbird, and I was singing with a four-piece band, top 40 band, in San Jose, California, many years ago. And, you know, you sing till 2:15 in the morning, 9 p.m. till 2:15 in the morning. And then you come home and you try to wind down. And
sure.
So I'm laying in bed and the window's open and I hear this bird tweeting. I thought, birds don't go out at night, do they? Then I looked at the clock and I thought, well, it's kind of like close to 5 in the morning. It's somewhere like that. It's still nighttime. So I wrote down on a little scrap of paper, when the nightbird sings his song and everyone is gone, will you still be in love with me? I think it was approximately 24 years later.
Oh, my.
It must have been 1998 because it was the year that Dee and I came here. I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep. And, you know, computers were still, not everybody had computers,
sure,
and the internet and all that stuff. But I had this old Commodore 64. And I went up there and I said, I'm going to finish writing this song. I heard the bird outside the window.
Right.
Again.
Yeah. That damn bird.
So, yeah. So.
Where's a bottle when you need
it? Yeah, really?
It took me a while, and the song took a very different twist. It went, when the nightbird sings his song and everyone is gone and the room where I sit is full of peace, I look back on where I've been. Da 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 da, and soon I feel the memories. And it goes into the chorus where it says, when the nightbird sings his song, nightbird sing your song, you are the bringer of the dawn. and he brings peace. And anyway, so it took this kind of inspirational turn.
I got you.
And it's got a little...
It's got, you know, 24 years of... Oh, yeah.
Nightbird sings his song. Yeah. And so it kind of rocks out. And then the Nightbird, when he sings his song, he sings, "Here comes the sun, shining God's love on everyone. Rejoice, rejoice, God is here." Because in the meantime of those 24 years, and actually that part I tacked on a little bit later, because I had this wonderful friend who lived in Woodstock, New York, and mm-hmm. he told me one time, this appealed to my childlike nature, which I keep alive on purpose.
You should.
He said, "Did you know that whenever a bird sings, what he's saying is, God is here, God is here, God is here." And I like that idea. So I thought, that's what the Nightbird is going to sing. And that's what the Nightbird sings. Rejoice,
okay.
Rejoice.
Well, that's cool.
24 years.
24 years. It mellowed out beautifully, I take it. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not having a workshop in July. I'm taking a month.
You're taking a month of July off?
I got a
quitter.
No, I'm not quitting. It's too hot.
Oh, please. What are you sitting out in a parking lot somewhere? You got air conditioning in that building?
I know, but people are on vacation. I want to take a vacation, okay?
You're going to take a vacation? Where are you going to go?
Anywhere.
To the couch.
It would be the 3rd of July. Anyway.
I know. It's the day before 4th of July, so I don't really want to do it. Nobody's going to be around.
You say that.
Oh, yeah. But what I'm going to do for July, speaking of the Bartlett Songwriters Workshop, thanks for asking.
I'm here to help.
Is the fact that I had students last night from at the workshop from the high school, Bartlett High School.
Yes.
And we're going to take the month of July and doing stage performance, song building and stuff. We're going to be doing that for that entire month.
Okay, that'll work.
Because I want the kids that felt like they needed to come to the workshop to get it... step ahead of the program, so that they would have advantage to do the showcase we're going to do this fall over at the school.
Right, right, right.
So they know what to expect. And that way, when they start doing that, we can also bring them in here and get them on the radio, like Miss Soriano Wood and all the other songwriters. I think that'd be cool.
It'll be cool. It'll be a good time, yeah. It'll be nice to hear their perspectives on all this nonsense from their point of view.
Yeah, because, you know, I want them to build it what they feel right about. You know, Soriana, you're contemporary, and I love, you know, you have this big heart and this love for love songs.
I'm romantic.
Romantic.
She's a romantic, yeah.
Word. I have too many words there. Romantic.
She's a romantic. But, you get her a bottle of wine, and she's good to go all night.
See, I get around women, I get all flustered. So.
Well, yeah. Should I leave the room?
No, we've already had our moment.
Yeah, at a hotel during the focal line.
1991.
We're teasing.
You know, Soriana's been faithful with the Bartlett Songwriters, coming to workshops and supporting. You're doing a farmer's market, aren't you?
Yes.
Over at the Bartlett? Where's that at?
Yes, did one a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to do one on June the 30th. Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. They have great produce out there. And
where is that one? Where is the Bartlett Farmers?
It's in Freeman Park off okay. of Bartlett Boulevard.
Close to the Bartlett Donut. You get the idea of Bartlett?
I see that. Yeah, Bartlett's pretty good about branding and marketing.
We jammed one day at the Bartlett Donut.
Oh, yeah, because something happened. And
Paul Jewell.
And we went over there and he says, oh we're done with Plano. We was over at the festival. Festival, and we got done with it. Says, "Hey, let's go have a donut and coffee and get all caffeined up." We went over there, drank a bunch of coffee, and played.
Played in the donut shop.
Yeah. Sat down and played, and the guy did a live video feed.
I'm sure he was thrilled to have live music in his donut shop.
I know we'd never really done that. I thought that was pretty fun.
Well, that's kind of. Was there anybody else in there?
Yeah, actually, we had people coming in and
we had
buying
kids.
Us donuts and everything. It's like we got tipped in donuts.
they were tipped in donuts. I was going to say, they didn't throw like dollar bills in your guitar case or anything like that. Look at the poor man over here. He needs help.
At least a donut.
Let's just give him a donut and refill his coffee.
It was fun. You know, and that's the thing. I'm trying to have fun with all these songwriters, bringing them here, doing the Bartlett Songwriters Workshop, the showcases, the thing for the school. This is about fun. If we're and I have that Sarah Williams, she said, If I'm not having fun doing music, I don't want to do it.
Well, what's with anything? If you're not having fun, you know.
The whole thing. I mean,
I've said it for years, but people say I hate Monday. You don't hate Monday. You hate your job. That's what it is. Yeah. You know.
Sometimes it's hard to hear the honest of it all.
It's true.
And then we come down here.
Yeah, and this
this
paradise.
Is another universe here.
This is another universe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you have a songwriter showcase.
June 23rd over at Midtown Crossing. Paul Crum, Blake Brock, Mark Wicklund, and myself. I'm going to be laying some new tunes.
Uh-oh! Look out!
And the Midtown Crossing Grill is at the corner of Watkins and Overton Park.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
The best pizza ever.
And a great, great owner. You been there?
It's been a while, but yeah.
Octavia.
She is a sweetheart. Yeah, I love that lady. She's just wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
She makes it the atmosphere nice to be in there.
Sure.
Well, and in fact, I contacted...
Family friendly, too. You can bring
Bring the kids. Get them liquored up. It's big time.
Well, actually, the bar is on the other side of the establishment from where we are.
The performance area.
Ah.
The performance area. So it's okay for the kids to be in there.
As long as they don't wander over into the bar, you know, sneak a shine off the bar.
It might help them sleep later.
In fact, I contacted Octavia just yesterday, and last year I had my birthday party there.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, it's going to be in August. It's actually August 11th, but we did it on the 12th because that fell on a Saturday last year.
Right.
And I invited all my friends and musician friends, and I said, bring your guitars. Everybody sing a song. I don't want to work real hard on my birthday.
Sure, sure.
And it was great. The place was packed, and we had all these wonderful musicians, including BJ. And,
oh, wow.
And everybody played a song or two, it was just wonderful. It was the best time. So I said, my birthday's coming around again in a couple of months. Could we do that again? And she had someone booked on the 11th. Which this year, the 11th falls on Saturday. So she said, how about Sunday the 12th? So we're going to do Soriana's big birthday. This is a big birthday, and I don't want to tell you which one it is.
21.
It's a legal birthday.
It's a legal birthday, yeah.
We'll call it. We'll leave it at that.
I'll probably post it on Facebook, but I can't say the words.
I just can't hear myself saying that.
I can't, you know. That's
I feel
like that
it,
song I'm working on. I look in the mirror. Who is that person looking back?
Yeah, who is this guy? It's not what I feel.
I must be in another universe.
What the hell happened to me?
I know, that's it. You're walking down the street and you're feeling like you're 17 and you walk past a window of the store or something.
You see, you catch your reflection and go, oh, what is this?
I really have that kind
that
of posture.
Yeah, you realize that like when you go to a party, you just become about as obvious as a potted plant. You know, it's I'm invisible now. I think I'll go home.
I reassured the kids last night that was talking to me from high school. You know, I'm old and crusty. I'm not going to be doing all of this straight with me. I'm going to make sure that I bring in some younger people with this and realize, because we're going to have a vintage party pretty soon.
All right.
You know, the vintage party, over 55.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have Soriana's birthday, and everybody in the world is invited. It's going to be August the 12th, a Sunday.
We'll alert the media.
From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Midtown Crossing Grill. They're at the corner of Overton Park and Watkins, and that'll be fun. And then I've got another Bartlett Farmer's Market on July the 28th, which is a Saturday morning from 9 to 11. And I've got a show in a couple of weeks, the 16th. Well, now it's less than a couple of weeks. 16th of June at the Epiphany Salon and Gallery.
What's that address on that place? You know, well, look it up if it... I can look it up.
I think it's 276 North Parkway, but I'm not certain. It is, you know where the Cozy Corner Barbecue is on North Parkway down there by St. Jude and the Pyramid? And that?
Yeah.
The little old Cozy Corner that's been there forever and then burned down, and so they moved across the street. Well, she's actually in the building that's across the street, and she is... a hairdresser and an artist and a very creative lady and a wonderful, wonderful spirit. And so she decided when she opened her salon a few years ago, which was when I met her, that she would have art openings at least every 2 or 3 months.
Right.
To show local artists who preferably had never shown their work before.
Yeah, it's hard to get gallery space in this town.
Yeah.
Memphis is a tough town anyway.
So she said, instead of putting the pictures of the hairdos all over the place, I'm going to put people's art and have it for sale.
How about that?
And so I said, she was cutting my hair at the time, and I said, well, do you need a musician? And she said, well, I do. And I had given her a couple of my CDs, and she said, you want to do it? And I've been her house band since then, and had Richard Jacobs. We did a duo there for a while. 726, I transposed the numbers, 726 North Park.
726 North Watkins, yeah.
And
North Parkway, yeah.
Richard Jacobs and I, we did the last show there a couple of months ago as a duo. And then I did several shows there with wonderful Michael Anthony Williams, who is a multi-instrumentalist, guitar, piano, trumpet, drums.
You just play around, don't you?
I do.
Mind yourself.
I mean, with a lot of musicians. Let me finish this.
I wish I could play around more.
I take a breath. And you go.
Oh, there, you, well, there she goes.
I keep asking the universe for someone who's on the same musical spiritual page as me, who would like to devote some quality time to playing music, original music preferably, and someone who has the ability, much like BJ and these other musicians that I've just named, who, if we just want to do an evening of my original music, they pretty much can sit down and do it.
Sure.
You know?
Have you worked with a band before? Because maybe you ought to build a band.
Well, I've kind of thought about that, but I have this day job that's pretty demanding.
Ah, tell them to piss off.
And you got a grandkid at home?
And now I have my daughter and my grandchild.
Oh, my.
Living with me.
Full plate of things.
Yeah, I got a full plate of things. That's for real.
Well, you know, with the grandkids, that's their problem.
She's 5.
So yeah, but that's her mother's problem. Well, you need to get out there and you need to play some shows.
That's what I continue talking. I continue calling. Hey, have you practiced your tunes? Where are you playing at? I always bugger. Come on, you know, because you live music until the day you die. That's how you enjoy life.
That's how it works. Yeah.
To the last breath.
And then you hate it.
No, you never hate it.
You were just too
weird. She said you only like it till the day you die, and then what? You know, you're
done. Then you start over.
Then you start over.
Soriana, what do you think about our Bartlett Songwriters thing that we've been doing?
Oh, I think it is just a wonderful idea that you had to begin with. I think it's a cool gathering of young musicians, and some of the musicians are not chronologically young, but they
writing
are
young. Writing
but
young.
They are writing young. They haven't gone out and performed. They've got these songs in their scrapbook and they've been working on them for years, and this is their first opportunity really for having people hear them. And like BJ has great ideas about it. We had a couple of sessions where we took other people's words and we all wrote our own version of it, each of us who are play instruments, brought it back, and then they chose which version they liked the best, and it was kind of fun.
I never got chose.
Me either.
But anyway,
it's another opportunity. And when I came to Memphis and stopped doing the TV show, some people said, oh, you ought to go out and sing. And I lived downtown, and I looked at the places on Beale Street. They were not for me. I'm kind of the came of age in the 60s.
You
were girl from
Woodstock.
Eugene. I'm not really a hippie. And because I play guitar, everyone would say, oh, you're a folk singer. Well, I cut my teeth on folk singing, yes. And I love that. And I thought I thought the whole folk singing scene was dead till I found the Folk Alliance International Conference.
Right.
And I went, oh my gosh, it's been alive and well all these years. I could have been doing something. But I sort of felt like I was a fish in the wrong pond when I came here to Memphis. Because I didn't see any places where a songwriter could just sit down and play their original music and be heard. And I didn't really want to, there weren't coffee houses.
We're still working on that here in Memphis and Bartlett. You know.
Yeah, we have, of course, we have the wonderful listening room that Mark Parcell has, the South Main Sounds.
Yeah.
You know, that's such a joy for musicians because people are not talking loudly. They're listening to
you. Oh, they're paying attention, yeah.
They are paying attention, and it's just a joy.
You know, some places have even gotten away from it. Like, I think it was like Otherlands, I think, has gotten away from music.
Yes, I'm sad to hear that.
Java Cabana, however, has not. They still have it. But that's a neat little... I mean, that place has been around. It's older than Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
It's
been around a long time.
It has been around a long time. And it's a neat little... And it's the same thing. You go in there, you get a beverage, you can sit down, an artist is going to play, and people pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah, and so BJ, with his Bartlett Songwriters Alliance, not only has given this opportunity for songwriters to share ideas and to... co-write on songs and such. He's also given the opportunity through these songwriter showcases and through other ideas that he has for places that we can all play, like the market. And some of us were good, you know, it's kind of the way that musicians have been portrayed, at least that I've experienced, is that you can be real good at making music, but you just don't know how to run your business in your life.
Oh yeah,
hence you know. The music business.
Yeah. And so if
it's the business of show business, baby, and it's the hardest part.
Yeah, so to go out and make those calls and create your space and do the promo and all that, and actually BJ is doing a lot of that for some of us. He's saying, "Hey, I just found this place here. Do you want to go play here?" And he'll place different ones.
That's good.
You know, and so that's just
it's
wonderful.
It's the mentality that we need to grow that kind of thing, because that what we're doing right now is the reason that we're getting magnetized, and Nashville seemed to be an urge to come to Memphis.
Oh my God, yes.
And because oh my God, I need to go somewhere where I can be creative, where I can put my twist on it or my combination of genres into my song and write it, and nobody say that it's wrong.
That's correct.
Yeah, because you've got to meet up with the formulas in Nashville.
Oh, and Nashville's so corporate and it's just
cookie cutter formula
garbage.
Processes.
It is garbage.
I mean, they have a place, I think, to show us that we need to do it different.
Yeah.
That's their place, is to show us Memphis needs to do it different and better.
Memphis has always been about being homegrown, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Nashville is Los Angeles East.
Yeah. In a lot of different ways. I mean, I have worked with some good people over there. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. I mean, but, you know, their attitude toward it is a little bit different, you know. I mean, I'm speaking of it as the industry as a whole.
So, yeah, well, yeah. We're going to make sure that between the things that Soriano's learned doing TV and all the things that we have learned, these vintage people.
Yeah.
And bringing in experts and then the next mid-generation of engineers and producers, et cetera, that we're going to... Listening rooms are going to expand. I mean, they're doing that Sing for Your Supper now over at Stage Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, you know, Donna Bowers is doing
Westies,
it.
As well as Westies, yeah.
Yeah.
And Westies, yeah.
And Westies. But they're expanding out of a little bit further out, so there's more listening room. That's what we're all doing. We want to be able to hear your song. We want to hear Soriana sing and soar and have the birds tweeting in the background, you know?
You know. I have a song like that.
You have a lot of songs like that.
My song that's for sale on CD.
Oh, well, plug it. You're here.
Yeah, you're here. We're
it's called Your Love, and we did mix some little bird sounds in the background.
Where can people get your music? Everywhere it's sold?
I'm still, you know, I've actually raised a couple of families, and now I'm on my third. I have two daughters that are 20 years apart. So.
And that's on CD Baby.
CD Baby. And the song that I have on there is called Your Love. It's one of the first songs I wrote back in the early days.
Right. Are you on iTunes as well?
That one's on iTunes as well.
What else you got on iTunes?
And,
Amazon?
I believe I have Long Lost Lover. No, I haven't put it on Amazon yet. I had a little bump in the road just as I was getting my inertia going. My
momentum is of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had lots of little ducks in the row, and I lived over there by Rhodes College in this lovely little house. My landlord came home last September and said, oh, I'm going to sell my house. You have to move.
Oh, yes. So, the earthquake just happened.
Oh, yeah. You know? And then you have to uproot everything. Yeah.
So I've got most of the things in my house in order, but I still don't have my music room set up.
I got you.
I'm not.
You don't have that done? I thought you had that done.
No.
I'm going to have to send you the text
story.
Now.
It's a story. But in any event, I do have three CDs that I self-produced, really just out of the fact that I wanted to have something. When I went to the Folk Alliance conference, people pass out their CDs like their business cards.
Sure.
And a couple days beforehand, I thought, I don't have one of those. So I went back over all of my cassette tapes and CD and, you know, recordings in the computer and what, and I selected 10 songs, and I called it Rainy Day Woman, which was also the name of one of the songs on it, and I produced that to take to the Alliance, and I have sold those. They need to be remastered to really, you know, you've got a little bit of the...
We know people.
Background. Yeah, I need to find out about that.
Yeah.
And then I have a CD of standards. I just call it Soriana Sing Standards. And they're singing to tracks of some wonderful jazz musicians.
Mm-hmm.
But also there are four songs on it that I did with Calvin Newborn in my living room one Sunday when I said, Calvin, my dad is getting on in years and he always admired your brother. Unfortunately, he's not familiar with your music. But I said, that's how I knew who you were, was when I was a little girl. I used to listen to Phineas Newborn and George Shearing. And my dad just used to say, Phineas Newborn is just from another universe. You know, he's just, where does he come from with his music? So one day I just said, Calvin, I'll cook you Sunday dinner. Bring your guitar. Could we record a couple songs for my father? And we recorded The Nearness of You and My Funny Valentine and When I Fall in Love and Misty. And although they sound like vintage recordings because they were done on an old Tascam 4-track and just done ad lib.
That is vintage.
Ad lib for both of us, but as Calvin says, especially The Nearness of You, which is about my favorite song of all time. To this day, he'll say, I listen to that song almost every day and I still believe it's perhaps the greatest piece of music I ever laid down in a recording.
Wow.
But so I do sell those for people who like that type of music, and then I have a CD that's of my inspirational music.
Right.
That I produce for some friends at the Unity Church in Cordova. I had sung out there several times, and they said, the next time you come, you need to have a CD. And it was New Year's Eve, and I was going to sing there the next morning, and I went, I don't have a CD. So I stayed up all night, put down 9 songs.
And there it was.
Direct to CD on this little CD recording machine that I had.
Sure.
And sold out. I made 20 copies, printed the labels and everything, and sold out.
Well, that's how money's made.
That it is. That is how it's
made. So there's a way to do it, and as long as people are not, you know, there's a little bit of noise in the mm-hmm. sound.
But that process of getting those CDs out to people so that they're familiar with your voice and your singing and
they know
your songs.
Know the songs and they get
and they
the
go,
feelings.
And people can start, you know, gravitating to the songs. They're like, oh, sorry, I heard that song. I like to do this. And it's all building that relationship.
Sure know? It is, yeah.
If you don't build a relationship with people, there's a lot of little moving parts and keep making sure that your music and your music business continually needs to grow, and it's difficult when you know you've got a job and you got grandkids and family, and then you got your. But you seem to be keeping a decent balance of it.
I work at it, yeah. I do. I think I'm getting better.
We got time for one more song from you, Soriana.
Oh, would you like to do that? BJ's done this song with me several times, and
jump in, I'll follow.
It's the way it works.
I lived out in the country outside of Eugene, Oregon, in a place called Notai. And I was sitting out there one day looking at my horse. I had 3 horses, 8 goats, 20 chickens, God only knows how many dogs and cats, a couple tropical birds, this big mountain up behind us. And I was looking out at the field and watching the birds fly over. And I thought, never see an owl. And I had this fascination for many years with owls. So I sat there and I wrote this song. It's called Night Owl. When you sing, there's a full moon arising over the hill. The wildcat's on the prowl. Here he comes, a flying over the horizon, like a thief in the night. Soaring high, swooping low, he looks for creatures who are tending to their business unaware. Surprise attack is one of his best features. He can capture them before they know he. Night owl. He comes a crying as his dark form glides into sight on when you see there's a full moon arising over the hill, the lone wolf starts to howl. Here he comes, flying over the horizon, the master of the moonlight. Night owl, night owl.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. That's very, very, very nice. Soriana Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Find her on social media. Find her at CD Baby, iTunes.
Reverb Nation.
Facebook.
BartlettSongwriters.com.
BartlettSongwriters.com. And then at the Bartlett Farmers Market.
Yes. Live.
Very good. Right on. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I really enjoyed it.
It's my pleasure. What's next week, or do you know?
Next week, if at all possible, they're bringing in the young adults.
The young adults?
Yes. The ones that have no limits on their creativity. The new kids that are playing piano and beating the heck out of guitars. Whatever I can get out of if I can get these high school kids to come and perform.
Yeah.
Or at least come talk and have an understanding of it.
Sure.
If not, I've also, Sarah is doing some more Bartlett Farmer's Market and stuff. She'd like to stop back in and do
sure.
a few tunes.
Anytime.
So, and then I got Blake Brock, who still wants to stop by. And Paul wrote a new song, Surprise.
Surprise. He's a machine.
Amazing.
He is a machine.
Warning, new song coming.
I don't know how he does it, but he does.
It's amazing.
It's impressive. Yeah.
I am very, very proud of people that are sharing their songwriting with your radio station, the Bartlett Songwriters, and all the other things, and the young adults. Excuse me. I told them I would be respectful when I talked about it.
I'm calling them kids when they get here.
Well, you're that old.
I am that old. I call everybody kids.
I just went to another universe. So I have no idea.
I hear you.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Now, it's Karen Altman Latham. Because
yes,
you and I talked about this,
yes.
And you used to have like a name as long as your leg.
I did. And that was due to Facebook constraints. I had I had added every name to my Facebook account that someone from high school may know me from.
They could find you, yeah.
They find me as I was doing our class reunion. So when the reunion was finished, I went back to change it back, and Facebook would not allow it. Back then, they were more strict on how you change your name. So finally, I was able to, and I cut it down to my maiden name, and I recently was married, so I have my married name. So.
You ever been to a class reunion, Rick?
Nope. Have no intention to even do that. I've heard enough from people who have gone.
Well, I tell you, I went to mine.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Now, what do you think of that? That'll be all right. That's next week, or next time, next whatever it is. That's the thing. Being a broadcaster, I'm so hammered by the clock and hammered by the calendar. And today is this day, and tomorrow was that day. And when you do these podcasts, you put them together and you send them out into the world. And it depends on when things get consumed. You know, I mentioned numbers earlier, and I was looking at when certain shows get consumed. And as this show gains steam, which it always does. I mean, for the most part, it does. It does lose a few along the way, which fine. Everybody gets tired of shows, but new audiences come in, and they discover something that they may have heard and they liked it, so they go back. They go back into the catalog, and you can catch all of the episodes, my friends. All of them, they exist. They are there, all the way back to episode one. If you have an Apple device. You can find them in iTunes, in the iTunes store there. If you have an Android device, you can get them in the Google store. That's correct. Or if you're a desktop person, you can get them in a whole bunch of places. Our website is a good example. Radio-Memphis.com, another place that has always been there with us, is I have a blogger page.
At one point, I thought myself as a bit of a writer. I don't mind writing, but it's not as comfortable for me as it is to just sit here and just run my mouth. So it got turned into a repository of these shows. So you can find that at rickcheddar.blogspot.com. I'm spread out, man. I'm all over the place. But there you go. There's all sorts of places. And do me a favor. If you like what you've heard, if you discovered us through Facebook or Twitter or whatnot, please share it. Please tell some friends. We appreciate you doing that for us. And if there's something that I have said that you find particularly annoying and you want to communicate about it, you can. There's ways to comment. You can say whatever you want. We have noticed, and I'm certainly not bitching about it. Podcast listeners, by and large, tend to be pretty subdued. They're pretty chill folk, man, because you're just kind of letting it wash over you, just letting it do its thing. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, either way, whatever it is that you do, however it is that you consume us, we appreciate it. Oh, and on that note, I want to remind you too, where I work over at radio-memphis.com. Our website is optimized now for every single device that can connect to it. That is correct. If you pull it up on your phone, it'll look the way it looks on a desktop. We made it work. A tablet, the same way. You can get, who needs an app? An app is so 90s. No, we didn't have apps in the 90s. It would be, apps would be so 2000s. It'd be the aughts. It's so aughts. Frankly, I mean, apps are obviously serve their purpose for doing things. But for a radio station, it's unnecessary. Just go to the website, radio-memphis.com. All the fun is there. And enjoy. Have fun, right? All right, kids, look, you heard what's coming up next time. I got to go. Got places to go. Y'all be sweet, okay? Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.